Hello, and thank you for downloading the Square Eyes podcast.
You've either found us on iTunes or on Podomatic, so congratulations and thank you for listening.
Well done.
This podcast will be available in 5.1 surround sound. But Andy. Most commonly,
oh God.
Not.
Oh God.
Oh God, we clashed. It's okay.
We clashed. Okay, right. We want your suggestions on what you want us to review. You can email the squareeyespodcast@live.co.uk, whether it's an album, a film, a video game, a book, anything. If it's media, we'll review it.
Or you can tweet us on twitter.com/squareeyespod. That's squareeyespod.
Yes.
So tweet us, get in touch if you've got any suggestions, and we'll happily take them on board.
Yes, and you can also find us on Facebook. What's the address, Dan?
It is facebook.com/... Square Eyes Podcast.
Thank you. Yes, give us a like. We love it there. We post all information there and what we're reviewing and what not. So yes, thank you for downloading, and we hope you enjoy this episode.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Goodbye.
Bye.
I need a sausage bap. Jesus Christ, let's do it.
You had a sausage muffin as well.
I know, they were tasty.
Giggity.
Listen to me, Dan. You're going to be taken.
Shut and shut of skills.
It doesn't even sound like that. That's like Sean Connery.
Shut and shut of skills.
Sean Connery with a speech impediment.
Imagine Sean Connery doing the seashells. Seashells. By the seashore. Miss Moneypenny. Will you come to my apartment?
Everyone's going to be confused.
Miss Moneypenny.
For the first time in what seems like a year, there's three voices.
Not been a year. I've been
this
in here before doing one with
it?
You.
October.
The last one we did Chernobyl Diaries.
Off of yes.
Was the last
early
time
November.
Three of us.
Early, yeah. October.
And I missed Ed Sheeran and Beyonce.
You missed our Christmas special.
Ed Sheeran.
And you missed Ed Sheeran. Oh, yeah, it's just me and Chris, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry. Oh. Sorry about that.
Rihanna.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, Rihanna. Well, that was a joy.
Una-na.
What's my name?
Una-na.
What's my name?
What is my name?
Do you know what?
Stop it.
I
don't
got
sound
soaked
like
on the way in.
Soaked?
Mm.
You should have bought your umbrella.
Ella. A.
We should probably keep this to being around Taken.
Yes, they're going to
I watched Taken 2 last night. It was good.
Well, there's the review right there. I think everyone was just waiting for him to do another phone call similar to the first one, I think.
Why are we talking about it now?
Yeah, play the theme.
Play the theme.
I've been recording for the past 40 minutes.
This
is the end.
Recommend it. Go watch it.
Okay, should I play the theme then?
Bye.
Should I play the theme then?
Yes, play the theme.
The Square Eyes Podcast, www.facebook.com/Square Eyes Podcast.
Yay, it's the Square Eyes Podcast, episode 8?
8.
9,
eight.
I think.
12.
You may be shocked. There's two episodes so close to each other.
I know.
We fought it. Wow. We actually haven't waited a month like we normally do.
Have you guys gone home?
What does that mean?
Well, because you were only in here the other week doing Rihanna.
Yeah.
And now here we are again.
Did you listen to that show? What do you think of it, Dan? Good?
I only heard the beginning. Reason being...
Oh,
no.
Okay,
hang on.
Thanks.
In defense here, because I obviously highly recommend downloading the last episode of the Squares podcast, minus myself on that occasion, because I started to download it on my 3G, on my cellular device, and then it went to the annoying little dot on the internet.
Yeah.
You know, when you lose the internet, it just goes to a dot.
Oh, yeah.
And not 3G, and then it slowed down, and then I gave up, so...
Was that an iPhone thing?
It's just internet in general, I think.
I've never seen a dog
Android
before.
Scum! Yeah,
I might have it now, not to deviate off of the topic of today's set. Oh, there we go. Oh, no, it was 3G and then it was dot.
I've got full Wi-Fi signal here. I'm doing pretty well.
Whoopsie-doo, Basil.
Brilliant. Let's continue.
Discuss
right.
a film.
After past few episodes, we had, as we said, Rihanna last week. And before that, we had our Christmas special, where it turned out Chris hadn't watched any Christmas films ever. He'd never watched. He's never seen Home Alone. Can you believe this, Dan?
I've not seen the third and the fourth one because they're awful.
What?
But the first and second.
What,
forget the film.
We've got to discuss this. Taken. Ugh. Home Alone 3 is one of my favourites. What?
Okay. Glad
no,
you agree.
It's not.
Home Alone 4.
Home Alone 4 is awful.
Awful.
Don't
yeah.
even go there. Okay. I agree
or
with that.
Agree.
Home Alone 3 is good, but it's not a Home Alone film. It's just a different film altogether. If they hadn't called it Home Alone 3, it would be really good.
Actor as
it was
well.
Written by the same
have
guy.
Have you seen...
Hi, Chris. You're right. Chris is leaving. He's gone.
Bye, Chris. Home Alone. You should watch it sometime. The Mummy. Yeah? So you've got the trilogy of the Mummy films.
Yeah.
You know his wife, Brendan Fraser's wife, in the first and second one?
I've not actually seen the Mummy.
Okay. Well, she changes in the third one. Again, it's really annoying.
It's like, but
I know
it's like
they
in
fall
Batman.
Out with the director
like
and what
Batman.
Have you.
The Batman, what's his name? Christian Bale's wife, not Christian Bale's.
Maggie Gyllenhaal and
Katie Holmes. Katie Holmes changes to the other one.
Yes.
Is she brothers with Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah.
She is. Oh.
Which means that Heath Ledger kissed both Jake and Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Wait, when did he kiss Jake?
Brokeback Mountain.
Oh, God, that's weird. That is
It's
weird.
Strange, isn't it? Brother and sister, and he's kissed them both.
That's disgusting. Oh, no, it's not. Whatever floats your boat. Good times.
Well, brothers and sisters.
Why
is
worse than Colin Byrne there?
Wait.
Thanks for the life
Thanks
advice,
for listening.
Colin. Let's talk about Taken.
Should we actually talk about the film we're going to review?
Yes.
Home Alone.
Yes. Home Alone 3.
Great film.
Good
Chris,
film.
Tell us all about it.
Well, it's really good because it's got Macaulay Culkin in it. Mm. Is that right?
Well, not the third and the fourth one, if you like Colin, but...
Yeah. Oh, Chris.
It's good.
Anyway, right, so, as I mentioned the word, we are reviewing Taken 2.
Mm-hmm.
The newest film we've reviewed, I think. I think Chernobyl Diaries was quite new when we reviewed that, but Taken 2 is like literally out on DVD, I think, a week ago.
Yeah.
Crazy times. I think we can all agree we're big fans of the first one.
Yeah.
Is that right?
And Liam Neeson, to be fair.
I think it's amazing. Taken sort of revamped his career.
Yeah.
And he's, what, 60 now? I'm going to have to find him on IMDb.
He's really old.
Is he that old?
Yeah.
I remember when he was in the Star Wars prequels. Yeah, he was quite young in those. Well, he was in the first one, wasn't he?
He was born in 1952.
He's 60.
He's older than like my folks. That's
wow.
so
that
weird.
That is weird. Look at him. Oh, he's such a lovely man.
He looks good for his age. Doesn't he look good for his age?
Oh, I love the Irish
That's the
accent.
Camera. That's the camera.
So yeah. This is the follow-up to Taken. The first one was 2008,
yes,
I think.
Yes, which was a surprise hit. It was meant to be one of those low budget. I don't think it cost that much to make. Taken
the
one.
Original Taken.
I mean, I heard an interview of him, and he thought Taken was just going to be straight to DVD.
Yeah.
I think the reason it was so popular. I'm looking on IMDb. Taken 1 has 7.9 out of 10, which is really good.
I like the bit of text on the poster.
Yeah,
there.
It has
don't
to
know who you are.
Certain set of skills.
He's not played by Sean Connery.
Skills. That's my amazing
Liam Neeson. It sounds just like him.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
What made Taken so popular is the fact it was Liam Neeson. That's what did it. The fact he was such, I don't know, it's just how he was like, he pretty much killed
Badass.
Half of Paris in the first one. Spoiler alert.
Well, who else could replace him?
No.
Christian Bale? No.
No, it's just because you don't expect it from him, really. He's just got that grouchy, and he's just so cool. I don't know how to explain it. It's because he's like an old
badass.
He is badass.
Mr. T could have done it.
Maybe.
He could have replaced him.
Hey, fool! I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want, but I pity the fool. Brilliant.
We are filled with bad accents.
Actually, Taken 1 had a budget of $25 million, which is quite a lot. And it grossed $145 million in total. That is
amazing. It's got to be good for... Because it's one of those films you watch over and over and over.
I've taken one.
I've seen it three or four times now.
I loved it.
Yeah.
On the edge of my seat, first time I watched it.
Oh, my God.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I've just searched Taken on IMDb and Taken 3 is already listed.
He said he's going to
bring
Taken
that up.
3, didn't he?
They'll probably bring someone else then. They always do that.
It'll be straight
to DVD and there'll be someone else playing him.
No.
That's what they do with films. They did it with Death Race. No. Jason Statham. There's someone else playing him, I think. I don't know why I'm looking at Chris as if he knows.
Yeah, no,
being Tom
I can't
Cruise
remember who it is, but
it's another guy. He's bold and looks exactly like him.
It's I can't remember. It sounded relatively big.
Bloody hell, this Taken 2, looking at Taken 2, budget was 45 million.
Yeah.
Which is about 20 double. Million more, yeah. Almost double. And they made $139 million.
Oh, right.
So they're obviously going to make a third one. I mean, whenever a film makes money, they'll make another one. Even without,
I was going to come
onto
that throughout this film. There is openings for a third.
Really?
Yeah, because not to give too much away. But
before
the guy,
we get into all this, we should probably play the trailer, shall we?
Okay.
Get an idea of the sort of film that this is. But everyone who's seen Taken 1 will probably have an idea of what Taken 2 is going to be about. Don't you think?
I agree.
Yeah. Let's play
the trailer.
See
what you think.
Oh. You slaughtered our men. Our brothers. Our sons. We will find him. We will have our revenge.
Surprise!
Oh my God. I was just leaving you a message.
I wanted to surprise you.
Well, you succeeded.
Brilliant, that's great writing.
Mom, look at this. Oh, it's beautiful.
Dad's the best, huh?
Yes, he is.
Oh, it's building.
He's here. I want all three of them alive.
Going to be taken. And people are going to come for you too.
What are you going to do?
What I do best.
Basically, it's kick ass.
We'll turn that down there. You get the idea. Opening thoughts, people, Taken 2?
I think.
Start with something that you thought.
Oh, can we introduce please to the panel as well, Chris?
We
have Chris.
Taken, not stirred. I made that because it's like shaken, not stirred, but
very clever.
Taken,
very clever.
Taken, not stirred. Daniel?
Daniel, wind from the east.
Okay.
We'll get into that.
You'll understand.
Ridiculousness. Can I just be... Oh, no, I'm going to be Colin Classic Neeson Byrne, yes?
Yeah, okay.
Me and Chris watched this film together, and as we were watching it, I started a tally of classic Neeson moments.
Okay.
Because we kept watching it and be like, classic Neeson.
Basically, when he does something that was so similar to something he did in the first film, like, kill 20 men in 5 seconds. Classic Neeson.
What is he like?
Right, so we get into the cast of this film first. Obviously, Liam Neeson, again. Without Liam Neeson, there's no Taken, really.
Yeah.
He's the one that made the film. Maggie Grace, the daughter.
The talk of Taken 3, I was just reading up on interviews there, and all of them said they weren't like the screenwriter and director and that, so they weren't that fast. And then Liam Neeson said, I probably won't do another Taken because I'm not really down for it anymore. Like, the logic is closed. So he said, but then maybe he'll change his mind. But it's not Taken without Liam Neeson.
No, it's not. Unless it's a straight-to-DVD fair.
Yeah.
Then they just get anyone in. Famer Janssen played his wife, or his ex-wife.
I can't watch her without thinking of X-Men.
Yes, I knew she was in the third
whole
one,
time.
Wasn't she?
She was Jean.
Yeah.
The whole time I'm watching, I'm just thinking of what's the guy's name that plays Wolverine?
Oh, Hugh Jackman. I'm always thinking.
I can just
Hugh
picture
too.
Him just saying to her, "Jean, don't do it," and then her just saying, she does play it very well.
I don't like her eyes. She has weird eyes.
Well, that's what makes me think of Jean.
She has no pupils.
So
it's just all black eyes. It's just no... It's weird. Yes. Oh, and Chris made an interesting fact about who plays the main villain in this film. It's... do you want to say, Chris, who it is?
Yeah, well, because we were watching it, and he's played by a guy called Raid Serbedziger.
Nice name.
I can't really pronounce his name. We're not very good at it. But we were watching it, and I was like, oh, it's a... Boris the Blade from Snatch. Have you seen Snatch, Dan?
No, I haven't, actually.
Basically, Snatch... would you say Snatch is a spoof of gangster?
Not really.
It's quite light-hearted, though.
Yeah, it's light-hearted.
Script writing,
it's good fun.
Basically, Boris the Blade, he's basically a gangster who can't be killed, no matter how many times you shoot him.
So he's...
And
yeah.
it's the same guy.
And it's weird.
As soon as he walked
him.
In, Chris was like, Boris the Blade! And I was like, oh, I couldn't stop thinking about it, because he has the same voice as he does in Snatch. So yeah, Boris the Blade. I thought...
Strong cast. It's got Neeson. That's what's important.
Oh, it's pretty much the same as the first one. I mean, the typical bad people, the evil people, part of a corrupt organization.
Well, it's the guys from the first one, isn't it? They want revenge. Yeah, the trailer
I think
said
it's
he
a
wants
bit,
revenge.
I'm not keen on films where it's just their motive is just revenge. Not even thinking about
it. I quite liked it, though. I liked that they have more depth as opposed to just, oh, yeah, we kidnapped children. Now it's like, yeah, we're doing this because you did it to us.
You think that was depth? I thought there was no depth in that. It was just simply, I want revenge.
More depth That's than it. There was to the bad guys in the first one. In the first one, they're just a generic gang. In this one, they've actually got an emotional tie to Neeson.
Yeah, but...
Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Yeah,
I guess so. Yeah. But... I don't know. I thought the criminals, the villains in it, were very one-dimensional sort of thing. No, but it was just revenge.
Yeah, the actual villains were, but the concept of them being there was a strong.
How many of them have they got?
There was a lot of them, but it was never really said what they do. I know, like, from the first one, we're supposed to assume that they're part of a trafficking thing. Ring.
They're obviously just another gang that he brought over from Paris.
I don't
know.
The
thing that annoys me in films like this... when they've got a hostage situation, obviously like Liam Neeson when he's hostage.
Yes.
But they always do it in the films and in spoof films as well. They put one person on the door.
Yeah.
Oh, I kept saying this through the whole film. Basically, Liam Neeson's what killed half the men. Same from the first one. He killed so many people. And when they've got him, like, they've just got him in like this little dungeon place and his arms are just like bandaged together using what, tape or something?
It's really rope, I think.
And there's one person. There's three people watching the football as well.
Surely the main baddie guy, the raid player, would have kind of been
like, he's
quite good, this guy, so you might want to have a couple of you watching him, you know, just in case.
He'd bring him in and say, I'm going to kill you, but not now, bye. And he's walked out and come back like 5 hours later. I didn't understand that. That's what, I know it's typical for films and it wouldn't be as much, wouldn't be as exciting. But I don't like villains who are like, they've got like someone they want to get and kill, and get revenge on, but instead of killing him right there, they wait. They're just like, I will let you sit here for an hour before I kill you, sort of thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they in real life, it wouldn't happen like that. They would just kill them straight away. It wouldn't be like, oh, I'll cut your wife there and you can watch her bleed to death. No, well, that wouldn't happen. You'd just cut her throat, be done with it.
Yeah, but
I should be a criminal master.
It's for drama, isn't it? When me and Colin watching this yesterday, I kept saying to him, you'd be a rubbish, like, criminal, because these guys are all about the drama and, like, you know, slow torture, and Colin would just cut straight to the point and be like, yeah, we captured you, you're dead now.
It just annoyed me. Like, they seem to capture him or his wife. Before we get any further into this, basically, the first film was about his daughter being taken.
Yep.
And this one's about his wife being taken?
And
his ex-wife. Basically, the beginning of the first one, like, Liam Neeson's in a bad place. He's like, you know, his kids doesn't like him. His ex-wife isn't keen on him. Start of this film, it's all happy families, isn't it? Sort of.
Mm. Well,
the wife is
stepdad isn't in it, is he? I think he's just gone a bit sour.
He just drove off. The wife is like, oh, come back to me, Liam. I want your arms. I want your body, sort of thing.
Exactly that.
That's exactly what she was like.
It was quite.
Yeah, she wanted some Neeson.
Because I must admit, I even lost how they got to Istanbul. I remember kind of thinking, oh, half an hour in, I was like, oh, there they are.
Yeah.
I lost the transition of how they got there.
Where?
It kind of blew over.
What made Liam Neeson, what's his name in the film? Brian Mills.
Brian Mills.
What made him think for a second that taking his family to Istanbul, when they've already been taken by one criminal gang who are from that sort of country, is that why would you think that's a good idea?
And the other thing, not to do a spoiler alert here, but obviously they got their information from a source as to a bit more about Liam Neeson. But how did the person they got the information from know they were going to be in Istanbul?
Well, that makes sense. Chris figured this out. Basically, from the first one, there was that contact he had in France, wasn't there? And you remember
careful spoilers.
This isn't really spoilers.
It is spoilers. You're telling people about what's happening in the film.
Well, basically, a guy appears in the first one, comes back in, like his contact in France.
They torture him for information.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, thanks for the spoilers. Yeah,
right. But how does this is what I was trying to get across? How does his contact in France know that they're in Istanbul?
I was trying
they don't
to
talk
that
anymore.
Out.
They're implied to be a really big gang, aren't they? So I guess they've got contacts everywhere.
Yeah, he has that group of friends, doesn't he? Liam Neeson. He goes to that barbecue with at the beginning, then he calls them
just like
they're playing
golf.
Just
like in the first one.
I don't remember that in the first one. That was weird. They all came up on the screen. I was like,
Do you remember them? Yeah. They're all in the first one. They're all sitting around playing cards whilst he was like, Holly Valance was in it, wasn't she? And he was like her bodyguard.
Yeah. Which is before they did secure, yes. They did yeah. the barbecue before that, cause yeah. before the birthday, because they had they were eating meat and wine and stuff and talking football.
As guys do, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. So yeah, and as I said, this one, it's obviously it's not his daughter being taken, it's his wife.
Mm.
And yes, one thing I will give the filmmakers credit for is they didn't really follow the same format as the first one. They did try and make it a little bit different, I thought.
Oh, there was a lot less believable.
I thought it took way too long to get going.
Yeah. Yes.
There wasn't as much. It seemed like they were teasing us a lot. Because obviously everyone who's gone to see it knows why they're there. They want to see Liam Neeson kick people and punch them and shoot them in the face. And that didn't really happen until about 40 minutes in. And even when it did, didn't you think the fight scenes were very quiet? I noticed this. I think Chris mentioned it as well yesterday when he watched it.
Yeah.
But they see that, like, I don't really want to spoil what
he
did.
I think they were
more
intimate. It was more like there was less.
It was like
less guys than the first
one. Tap, tap. It was like loads of karate moves and stuff.
There was like less guys than in the first one. But like, I think they were. It was because in the first one, he just was like killing people, like whatever. Whereas I think in this one, I think by having less people, it was a bit more like personal and intimate in each of the fights. And it was like, who was doing them for a reason as opposed to just like mowing people down.
Yes, I guess so.
I don't know.
There wasn't as many people to kill in this one.
No.
First one. But they seem to be fine with killing police officers, I noticed. Do you notice that? The driving scene?
Yeah.
Ah, he's like driving yes, through. Actually.
He's basically, the whole film is
are
pretty much...
Are they part of the gang as well? Is that what it's trying
I
to say?
I don't know.
Because they're corrupt as well.
Yeah.
And one, another point, when driving to the American embassy...
careful what? Of spoilers, because you always want to spoil it.
Oh, it just frustrated me. Let me look at my notes. What have I written? Kevin Spacey lookalike. That was one of the gangsters looked a lot like Kevin Spacey. I can tell you.
Watch out for that.
Brilliant. I thought Liam Neeson's suitcase was pretty cool. That suitcase, that silver suitcase he had with like all his gear in.
Mm.
Convenient, he had like grenades, guns, a little square mobile phone, which was very convenient.
Yeah.
A compass and a map.
Now that's what I want to come on to. Actually.
Oh, here we go. Is this the
that
east
bit?
All about
very...
east. Go east. A certain set of skills will lead you east.
That was
east.
Just very, just odd. So
yeah.
Not to do a spoiler alert here, but he's obviously captured.
Yeah.
And he speaks to his daughter on this square mobile, which is quite cool. And
very convenient though. But did we see a clip of him having?
I think
putting that on his body.
I think you see him fit it around his leg.
Yeah.
Because he picks up off the floor. So he rings his daughter.
Yeah.
And then he's like, right, go to...
He goes,
without
I have
spoiling
a certain
it,
set of skills.
Let's change some of the elements so we don't spoil it. He wants his daughter to deliver him a pizza on the rooftops of Istanbul. That's a bit less spoilery.
That sounds good for me. And then she posts the pizza down a chimney.
Yes. And to find where Liam Neeson is,
throws one of those grade things.
Oh, yeah.
When you lose your keys.
So ridiculous. That's not spoiler, but that's so ridiculous.
Now,
it's how we've managed to figure out where he was being held.
So basically, that's about a 5-minute scene of Liam Neeson getting his daughter to do things so he can work out where she is. He's like, the wind's blowing east.
Yeah.
So that means it's the circumference of the circle that's touching the other circumference of the circle. And the postbox is there.
Throw a grenade and I'll find you.
Now that was very unbelievable. You can't just throw a grenade in the street.
You're
going to get noticed.
She got very lucky with her grenade throws as well.
And it went under a car.
Yeah, and the second one was under a water tank, wasn't it?
You can't just throw...
How lucky is that? And like, people... there was no police or anything. Everyone was just fine with it. There's no sirens. She's like, oh, another grenade's gone off. Oh, well. Move on. I thought it was very odd.
Yeah, I don't get how you could do that.
Fair enough.
Just throw a grenade in a built-up city.
Fair enough.
With people there as well. Hey, health and safety.
She just goes for it. It's like, well,
fair enough. He's
right.
An ex-like special soldier person, but would that actually be possible?
My throw would be
that?
Terrible as well. I'd end up going through someone's window. Sorry, sorry, I'm doing it for my dad. He's dead.
To be fair, he did say look for a space where there's no people and throw the grenade.
Yeah, not the second time though.
Throw the grenade. Certain set of skills.
Turn 45 degrees northwest.
And then somehow...
Throw the grenade
to
the old lady.
That's what I was going to say. Didn't you make... Have you all seen Skyfall?
Yes.
Skyfall...
Have you seen it? I don't think you have, Chris.
I've seen Skyfall,
Did you see it? But Didn't you think like the rooftops where she was running and Liam Neeson were running?
It's the same place, isn't it?
Yeah.
I told you that, Will.
Yeah, I know. I know, for God's sake, Christian.
Why are you trying to pretend?
You're such a penis.
Asking it as a question when it's an answer.
But I swear that's the same roof that James Bond was on the motorbike.
When he was chasing across the rooftops.
That was cool.
Yeah?
I noticed that.
It's cool. I liked it. Actually, to its credit, I think I preferred him running around Istanbul to Paris.
Yeah.
Because Paris... Ooh, it was Paris he was in, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Paris was all right, but Istanbul was cool because you had, like, the bazaar and stuff and all the kind of...
I didn't like the rooms that some of them are in.
The next part is very important.
Sorry about that. I've just found the Liam Neeson soundboard.
Oh, good.
I'm going to have a lot of fun with it.
Can you play the good luck?
Oh, it's got to be here somewhere. There it is.
Good luck. Good luck. Good luck.
Oh, that's too many good lucks.
That's where he plays, like, 50,000 times.
I have no idea. Can't play.
What were you going to say, Dan, about Istanbul?
Sorry.
The back alleys and the darkness of these like apartments and houses, they're spooky. I know it's adding atmosphere to the movie.
Yeah.
But he just wanders off down these corridors. And he can always seem to find where the trouble is. A guy stood out the front with a gun. They've got to be in there, haven't they?
Yeah. So is that the bit where he's walking down the street, he looks left and sees some guy smoking a cigarette. And
he's got a gun. And he's like, that's right, obviously
that's the
where
guy I'm after him.
Well, he kind of remembers it, doesn't he?
Yeah, he has like a photographic memory.
Yeah.
That was quite funny. For ages, he's just counting along to the clock, just going, one, two, three,
flags, four, wind go east,
five,
seven, skills.
You've got to really suspend your disbelief. Like, taking first one was kind of realistic. Like, to a point, this one is a lot more like... kind of silly. I don't know. You've got to.
It was just like throwing grenades in the street. And yeah. Stuff like, he wouldn't do that.
I will look for you. I will find you.
And
I will kill you.
Ah. There we go.
No, stop, Liam. Oh, good times.
And going back to the beginning a little bit more, when he. I know you played the clip in the trailer where he phones his daughter.
Yes.
And he's like,
yes.
They're going to take you. Surely if you're being held at gunpoint, you're not going to go. Just going to make a quick call.
Yeah,
hang
I thought
on,
that.
Two secs, guys. Hold that thought. Hello. Yeah, I'm being held hostage.
I thought that.
Make sure you run away so these guys here that are holding a gun at me don't come and get you. You're not going to be able to do that.
Just a second, guys. Got to take this call. Yeah, I thought it was like the two people had guns on him and they allowed him to make that call.
Yeah.
Which seemed a bit odd to me. It was almost as if they're like being polite, like, let him finish his call, then we'll take him.
Oh, go on. You can make a call.
It's not as if he's killed loads of men before. It's fine. But, yeah, didn't you think like that phone call mirrored the famous one in the first film?
When she's under the bed.
Yeah, before
Well, they replayed that bit, didn't they?
As a flashback. They did. Yeah, before we watched this, me and Chris were saying there's going to be some nod to that phone call. There's going to be some imitation of it. I think that was it. Because instead of saying that you're going to be taken, he was like, "We're going to be taken. We are going to be taken."
Doesn't he say they're going to come for you as well, though?
They'll try and get you, yeah. I was like,
And she runs away, not a spoiler alert here, not massively. She runs away from where she was and she leaves the iPad on the side.
Yes.
Whoa.
Dan's an Apple fanboy, so
priorities.
Be careful here.
Oh,
that's like second gen.
Surely you pick it up. Car keys, house keys,
clothes. When she was in the swimming pool, that scene, when he's trying to ring her, like, instead of going for her phone first, she goes
straight
for an iPad. You wouldn't do that. You'd go straight for your phone.
Was she checking her emails on the iPad?
She was Skyping
her boyfriend.
Synchronized with her iPhone as well.
Yeah, it's
good like
very
that.
Weird.
Why didn't he just leave her a Facebook message?
And then
going to be taken, lol. XX by. Yeah.
It does make me laugh in films, and you see it in a lot of films now with the iPhones that seem to be appearing in them. Mm. When someone rings them and their picture comes up on the screen,
yeah.
And it's just a really bad shot, like Jean or Mum. Yes. When it was ringing saying Mum,
yeah.
She's just kind of like putting a funny pose for the picture.
The Liam Neeson was him like awkwardly smiling, like
with Dad.
Yeah,
I reckon they should do quite a lollable one in other films when they call. Because if you go through your phone now, I'm sure I've got pictures. Like, I've got a nice one of my mum, granted, if she rings me. But other friends and stuff.
It's just the Facebook pictures, isn't it?
Stuffing pizza in their face. Just pictures of them. I can't remember what I've got for you, Colin or Chris, but...
It's probably a picture of...
Neeson.
Don't pick up this guy.
Don't answer to these guys. They're very annoying. Is that what it is, Dad?
No, it's withheld.
And
I don't answer it because I don't answer withheld numbers.
I don't think... I think this film is perfect parodying... Chris,
That's a horrible
Dan's
photo.
Chris, what's that?
That's like my first ever Facebook photo.
God, that's like a picture
of Chris
when he was like 14.
In a dark room, giggity.
Oh my god. And there's horror
a monitor on him. Where's Colin?
Where did you find that?
It was off of your Facebook.
Be careful.
Oh my god, they got Amanda.
Not Amanda.
Oh no.
Oh, that's a nice picture.
Oh, look at Colin and Shona.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that nice? So, yeah, so I reckon that when they phone people in future films, they should have quite a humorous picture come up on the phone.
Yeah. So, it was so frustrating, all those missed calls.
I know.
It was like 20 missed calls, and she was like swimming with her headphones in. Like, how convenient.
They were really trying to tease us with, like, ooh, when are they all going to get taken?
Yeah,
like, for 40 minutes, nothing happened.
What? There's one. Sorry, Dan.
Sorry, I was going to say, I must admit, there was a few moments where I thought, what are they going to do here?
Mm.
She's stuffed or he's stuffed. But there was an element of surprise a few times. But
yeah.
Most of it was kind of predictable because Liam Neeson just kicks ass.
The whole film was predictable.
No, there was a few bits. There was bits near the end that I was like, crap,
yeah.
Stuffed. What's she going to do? And then it's like, look at that.
What? I did say this to Chris. This film was a 15. I think the first one was an 18.
Find out.
I have.
I have a quick look on.
I will add here while you're looking for that.
Yeah.
That I have been recommended if you're going to be watching Taken 2 after listening to this podcast.
Probably not.
That you watch the director's cut one.
Oh, really?
Or the non-director's cut one or something.
Yeah.
Non-director's cut is just the normal film.
Oh, well, the director's cut is meant to be much better.
Oh, really?
I have heard that.
Really?
Oh. So don't watch the normal one available in stores now. Watch the director's version.
Can you believe it was 4 years ago the first one came out? Yeah, 18. The first one was an 18. This one was a 15. I got the impression that they sort of lightened up on the violence.
But I don't know why, if the original Taken was so successful, they had to lower the age to appeal to a younger audience.
I think the first one, even though it was an 18, the first one appealed more to teenagers, I think.
But it was still hugely successful.
But they wanted more money from the box office. And obviously,
they got
teenagers are only going to be able to watch it on DVD, aren't they? I think that it did seem like a lot of the violence was a bit not as strong as the first one.
And it was quick as well. Some of the fight scenes were very over.
Some of the camera shots were really disorientating. Like the 20 different camera shots. That first fight scene in the middle of that
With all the rocks.
That was crazy. There's like 20 different camera shots. You couldn't see what was going on. And like all the fighting was like karate moves, like chopping. There's all like little taps, like tap, 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 tap. But it was, and I don't know if this is a spoiler, he broke some people's necks. And, you know, normally when you break someone's neck, there's like a snap, because, you know, I break people's necks all the time.
Yeah.
But, like, you'd do it, and it would just be like, nothing. He'd break the neck, and there'd be no noise.
Yeah.
I reckon they had to remove the noise, because if they didn't, it would be an 18. Well, I think they obviously wanted a bigger audience in the cinema, which is why they made it a 15.
And I'm glad I didn't sit in the cinema, though.
Same.
I would have been disappointed in the cinema.
We haven't really said yet. Yeah. I was very disappointed by this film, because I was a big fan of the first one. I think everyone is. Well, I know you two
are. I wouldn't say I was disappointed. It's worth seeing, but it's not as good.
I got bored in Taken 2. When you get bored in a Liam Neeson film, you know something's wrong.
I think it's worth seeing, just because if you like the first one, it's kind of more of the same, but it's not. There's not as many cool bits in it, but then it's quite nice just to watch the, like,
it's only an hour, hour and 20
it's not very long
as well.
maybe
spare time,
wait for it to come on TV rather than renting it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't really
have
advise.
You seen the first one on TV yet, though?
Yes.
Oh, you have?
Yeah,
I've never seen it on telly.
They played it, I was on like one of these Channel 4 or something about a year ago, I think. How did I see Taken 1? I think I saw that on DVD. No, I didn't see it in the cinema, I know that.
Yeah.
But I thought Taken 2 was very, there wasn't as much violence, which sounds weird, but that's what made the first one so good, because the violence was so over the top, like how he killed half of Paris, which is just the funny thing, because he like made so many people explode, or like he killed so many people, and yet he somehow managed to get on the plane and then go back to America all happy. But in this one, I don't know. I just got bored of it.
Going back to the plot as well. So,
yeah.
Obviously, they want vengeance.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
No, there won't be any spoilers here. Do not worry. So, the gang obviously want revenge because of what he did in the first film to them.
Killing their sons.
But I know it's only a plot, and it's only Hollywood, and it's only a film. But would a gang do that? Would they travel, all those people, and all those guns, and all the corruption over to another country to chase someone for revenge?
It seemed a lot of people for one guy, but...
I know revenge is revenge, and
Boris the Blade,
work in different ways, but...
Boris the Blade, who's the main villain, he's not really called Boris the Blade, but he's got two other sons, it's revealed at the end, hasn't he?
Yes, so that's where I think the third one's going to come.
I don't know. I don't know. He's got,
instead of them saying, "I will find you," both of them, "We will find you."
Oh, plot twist, but
we will both find you.
The fourth one is going to be a like double layered documentary when they're filming the guys. It's like, "They will find you."
I'm looking at a picture of the daughter. She's born 1983. That makes her.
She's older than me.
20.
No,
she's 30. 29.
She's 30.
She's 30.
That is 29, 30 in September.
That's definitely her, yeah.
She's 30 in September.
Take one, take two, lockout. What else?
Someone's actually older than me.
Twilight. She's in Twilight. Great. She was in Faster. The Experiment.
Night and Day. She was in Night and Day. Night and Day, yeah.
Oh, Lost. She was in Lost. My God. Who the hell's Shannon Rockford?
I didn't realise she was that old. She looks a lot younger.
She looks about our age, about 20. Well, mine and Chris's age.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
We're the young ones
yes,
here.
You
sorry,
yes,
Dan.
You are. Yeah. No, don't
sorry,
worry about
Dan.
It. Chris, she's more my age.
Chris,
for your information.
Chris loved the fact that she didn't have many clothes on in the beginning of this film.
No, I didn't. I didn't.
What, in the swimming pool?
I didn't
For about an hour, she barely didn't have any clothes
so
on.
Stupid, though. She was just like, ooh, running around. Oh, whoopsie, I'm only in a dressing gown again. It was just like, oh, guys, sort it out. Teenage audience.
It's rowdy teenage boys who want to see that, which is what the film's aimed at.
It was okay. It was very much like, get the first one, make it a 15. But I just wish they'd have tried something a bit more different.
Yeah. I think it's very different to the first one. Well, it's not that different. But I think the story, though, I didn't really like the villains. I thought they did okay with making a sequel. It wasn't just like, oh, he's been taken again for no reason. Yeah. They actually linked it to the first one, which was it was a good way of linking them.
I think an action film deserves lots of car scenes.
Yeah.
And there's one at the beginning when he knows he's being followed. But apart from that, they don't really have many other cars in it.
No, there was that big one with the police.
That was at the end. Yeah, near the end.
Yeah.
But apart from that, there was... Oh, actually, yeah, this is something else I wanted to bring up.
Okay.
So, here we go then. So I know it's different in America. You're a 16, 17-year-old to learn to drive. In England, it's 17 plus. So his daughter is learning to drive.
Yes,
because we realise this during the film because she has her test.
Yes, because
you do it. But for some strange reason during this film, her driving skills suddenly become kick-ass when she has to drive away from gunmen. Like handbrake turns, that kind of thing. I must admit, I've been driving 10 years. I can't handbrake turn.
That
and she
awesome
just gets
turn
in the car.
Where Liam Neeson was like...
Although I do like the line when she says, "Do you want to drive?" And he's like, "Can you shoot a gun?" She's like, "No, then drive." Okay, then.
Do you think he's being really harsh on her? She has to pass her test and they're driving. He's like, "Go faster.
Reverse.
Turn left. Down, down, back, faster." It's like, come on.
And then the woman gets out. The driving instructor gets out.
What's Liam? Sorry.
Says congratulations and just goes. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Well, the driving instructor at the end gets out.
That was the most fakest. What's it called in America where you do your test?
DMC?
DMV?
DMC.
You should know, Dan. You're an American.
Department of Motor Vehicles, DMV.
DMV.
Department of Motor Cars.
Do you know, like, at the end when she's doing her test, because that's the funny reference to the beginning, because at the beginning she's doing lessons, and at the end she's doing her test. Lol.
But the instructor got out of the car.
Yeah.
Said, "Oh, woo-hoo-hoo, congratulations." And then she got out, wandered off, and didn't even speak out.
Yeah.
Surely you'd go over to the dad and be like, "Well done on your daughter. Congratulations."
Didn't you just
wandered off.
Didn't you think she looked like Queen Latifah a bit? Oh, she did. Come on.
Queen who?
The Queen, is that the name? Queen Latifah? You know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? You don't, do you? Neither of you know who I mean. Oh, I'm going to show you a picture. Basically, she's been...
No, I know who you mean.
No,
she's an Ice Age. Yes, I do. She was an Ice Age. She was a voice
she's
of
not
someone.
A mammoth.
No, she was a voice of
that's
someone.
Her. Come on, that is her. Come on, that's the instructor, don't you?
Scroll down a bit. Here, was she an Ice Age, please?
She was the girl mammoth.
Ellie the mammoth. So when you say she wasn't a mammoth, you mean she was a mammoth.
You're saying that she was in Ice Age. Is that saying she was a mammoth?
No, she was in Ice Age.
You're saying she looks like a mammoth?
No.
It's not very nice. But, you know, do you know who Queen Latifah is?
Yes.
You didn't, did you?
Yes.
We'll move on.
Just but because yeah, I someone that... is a... No. Just because someone is a moderately proportional woman. You can't compare them just because they've got, like, similar looking face and a similar looking body type. Oh, it was Queen Latifah. That one.
I think it's time to watch.
Anyway, this character does have a very minimal part.
Oh, I just found the best video ever. Mel Gibson calls Liam Neeson. Oh, can we have a quick listen to this, please, guys?
What's this to do with Taken 2?
Don't you dare hang up on me.
I have plenty of energy to drive over there.
All right.
I don't know who you are.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, no, see, I want to see that now. Search on YouTube. Where's, Mel Gibson it, calls Liam Neeson.
I don't know. Is that some random call someone has of Mel Gibson? It sounded like a real phone call.
Was it I think it film? Is obviously from a film of him on the phone, but just...
It's from the film Ransom, possibly.
Oh, ooh. Some Ransom footage, but I don't have the... Oh, yeah.
There is also, on the topic of Taken, a very lollable picture floating around Facebook, especially over Christmas, saying, I don't know who you are. Oh, and the Carly Rae Jepsen.
That's what I was thinking of, yeah. Yeah, so
overall, we seem a bit deflated.
I was very disappointed by it. It was calm. It was too dumbed down. Not dumbed down, because it's a dumb film anyway. It was too... What's the word when it's not as violent?
Gentle, moderated.
Much gentler. Though it's not that gentle. There's a lot of killings and stuff.
Yeah,
but it's not as gentle as this is. Thanks. Sorry. There's
Chris
it's much
throwing
more
grenades in here.
It's much,
oh God, turn to the studio. East.
God, can you see a flag flying and a dog underneath?
And a man playing a violin in C
God,
minor.
Oh, the man playing the violin. He was cool. Remember
and
him
what are the chances thing, of that busker dong. Being in the same place?
Yeah,
buskers
I thought
sometimes
that.
Go to the same place.
Was this whole film supposed to be the course of one day? It was, wasn't it?
No, I think it was
two
over
days.
A day or two.
Yeah. It always weirds me out when the films are supposed to be over one day, because it must take them months to film all those scenes.
I don't think we're meant to think about that bit.
I know. I think too technically.
Ratings out of 10.
Ooh.
And general closing comments. Colin Burns.
I would give it a 2 out of 10.
Actually, hang on. Let's take. What did you give the original Taken, and what did you give this
I'd
one?
I'd give the original a 9 out of 10.
And
I'd
this one?
This one a 2. If I'd seen this one before Taken 1, I probably would have liked it better. But because it's a Taken film, I just was not impressed at all. I thought, as I said, it was very more moderated, as I keep saying, in the first one, which is what made the first one so fun, all the ridiculous action scenes. I thought this one was boring. I got my interest just went like halfway through, and that's not right for a Taken film or a Liam Neeson film.
Oh,
so
it's
a 2 from me.
I had 2 from you.
The first one I'd have probably given it a 10 because it was amazing.
Yeah.
This one, I say it's Liam Neeson at the end of the day. That's the problem.
He will find you. He will kill you.
Okay. I would probably give it a 6.
6?
Yeah. It was good. Worth watching. Group review or something. DVD. Just disappointing. It's still an enjoyable watch. Actually,
so we all agree. We all agree. We were disappointed by this.
Excuse me, you haven't let me done mine.
Hang on a second, Chris.
No, on the first one,
I've got the first one on DVD, and I will watch that mold. You sometimes have DVDs in your collection that you watch and watch and watch because you're like, such a great film. I can just put that on and relax. Some you watch once and then you set it online or something. But I would watch that again and again. Taken 2, I don't think I would want to watch it again.
Really?
No, I've watched it once.
I wouldn't watch it again, really. Mm-hmm. Disappointing.
I wouldn't want to... I'd think, can't be bothered. It's almost like you can't be bothered, which is bad, to watch a film again. That's kind of saying something.
Yeah. So
Chris!
What did you give out of 10?
6. First one, 10. This
You've
one,
done
6.
It again. You completely criticise a film and then give it like an 8 or a 7.
But this is what I mean. If you watch it once,
yeah,
I'd give it a 6. I just wouldn't watch it again.
Yeah, I wouldn't watch it again.
Chris, what would you rate this film? Out of 10, but before you answer that question, what would you rate the last film out of 10? And actually, before you answer that, what's your closing words of this film?
Well, I would say that the first Taken is a 9 out of 10 for me.
Ooh, okay.
Because nothing's perfect. I'd say the second one is probably a 5.5. It's all right, and it's good that it's short, but I really liked the way they set it up with the villains in terms of it being like a revenge thing, but it was very much felt like a watered down Taken 1. And that's a bit of a shame. They could have tried to do a bit more, or maybe they should have hit for an 18, like you were saying, Colin. Yeah. I don't know. I liked it. Like, I did enjoy it, but because it was only an hour 20, but yeah, you guys are right. I wouldn't watch it again.
No. And as Dan said, apparently the director's one's better.
Yes.
Like, you know why? Any reason?
Just because I think there's less cuts out of it. Yeah, with imagine, most movies, when they release the director's cut, it's got extra bits that are quite cool. And I think that's the way. It's just obviously got better, longer scenes in.
I think Chris knows this. Isn't the Lord of the Rings one Like, isn't there like a director's cut? It's like 5 hours long.
I started watching it. Completely unrelated. I watched the first half of Lord of the Rings 3 extended cut on the weekend. We're watching it for 3 hours, and they only just started the Battle of Pelennor Fields. It's like, oh my. No, wait, no, it was about 2.5 hours we were watching it for, but the last one is 5 hours. No.
5 hours. Oh my God.
No, 4 hours. 4 hours 30. The second one is closer to 5 hours.
That's crazy.
I think it was
so
the last
good.
One at the cinema that
you
I saw.
You've watched Taken like three times.
I'm sure there was an interval on the third one in the cinema, and a really cheesy like American popcorn hot dog thing came up.
Really?
Interval, and
that's
then
cool.
We just kind of sat there.
I think the two films I've went to that had intervals was Spider-Man 3, which had a break. And
you had a break in Spider-Man 3?
Yeah. Mm. It was a long film. It was like 3 hours long, wasn't it?
Yeah, we never had a break.
Didn't you? I think it was like in certain cinemas, because when we came out, they gave us a questionnaire to ask what we thought of the break.
Oh,
I think it was a good idea.
Yeah.
But we also had one for the third Pirates of the Caribbean movie, not the last one, the one before World's End, because that was like 3 hours long as well, wasn't it? So very disappointed from us. But why don't you watch it yourself and see what you think?
The director's version.
It's director's cut. Yes. I mean, it is worth a rent, like Friday night, group of friends. You know, don't really have to think about it.
Yeah.
No. If you love Liam Neeson, I mean, who doesn't? You're gonna love it. So it's up to you whether you want to watch it or not. Now, Chris, you were saying there that there's no film is perfect.
Yeah.
In your eyes, is there a film that is perfect? Well, have you got the perfect film?
I don't think so. No, because I just said no film is perfect. So
you sure? There must be one where you think
it's close to perfect, but nothing's perfect. There's always like, because if something's perfect, that means nothing will ever come out. Mm. This is my housemate said this, and I've been thinking about it all the time. If something's perfect, nothing will ever be better than it, and that just doesn't make sense to conclude.
I think we should leave with the Mel Gibson calling Liam Neeson Clifford.
I'm going to. Well, thanks for listening to episode 8 of the Square Eyes podcast. That was our Taken 2 review.
We'll be back in a few weeks' time doing a film or a CD. We haven't really decided yet, have we?
Of course, as we said at the beginning, you can email us your suggestions.
Yes, you can.
Chris, we're about to record that bit. Why are you looking so confused?
Because I can't remember what the email address is.
It's squareeyespodcast@live.co.uk. That's squareeyespodcast@live.co.uk.
Send your suggestions in, please. Or alternatively, you can send them on the back of a postcard marked to P.O. Box 77, Square Eyes Podcast, Manchester.
And it'll come to our offices, yes. Because we've got a huge office block all for the Square Eyes podcast. One day
we're all broke.
Oh my
one
God.
Day.
So we just pay the rent for the office.
Chris. Just reading about the unrated cut. Every single action scene they had to edit down to hit the 15.
Yep, I thought so. It did seem like it.
So the director's cut is an 18?
It's unrated. So yeah, it's an 18. Yeah. Well, it's, you know.
Oh, I'm going to watch that now. Oh, I should have watched that one instead.
It's about 10 more minutes, apparently.
Only 10 minutes? Oh, maybe not.
But but everything's unedited, not uncensored, as it were.
So actually, there'll be the sound of neck breaks then.
There's also
more
of the love story.
Well, there's ex wife.
Spoilers. Over the top of it.
Oh, come on. That was episode 8. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Twitter at. I've forgotten. At Square Eyes Pod.
Yep.
Square Eyes Pod. Facebook.com/Square Eyes Podcast. You can follow us on our individual Twitters as well. Do you want to say your Twitters?
I can't say that.
Dan actually can't because he works for a big organisation.
Yeah, but it's your own private Twitter, isn't it? Your personal one.
Yeah, maybe not. Okay, Chris, what's yours?
No, if you don't say it, I'm going to say it for you, Dan.
Dan's very awkward. I'll say mine. I'm Colin J. Byrne. Colin J. and Byrne is B-Y-R-N-E.
Daniel Baker, you can find at BackdoorBabes5 on Twitter.
It's underscore
follow
five.
Me. I'll follow you back.
Hashtag team follow back. I am Enter Soundman, which is also the link to my website.
Thanks
for listening. Bye now.
Bye.
I'm going to leave you with the Mel Gibson called Liam Neeson. Video. So enjoy it. Goodbye, and we shall see you on the next episode.
Bye.
Bye.
Don't you dare hang up on me.
I have plenty of energy to drive over there.
All right.
I don't know who you are.
Because I don't have any friends.
I don't know what you want.
Fuck you, bitch.
If you're looking for ransom, I can tell you I don't have money. But what I do have are a very particular set of skills.
What?
Skills I've acquired over a very long career.
What?
Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
No, you're all angry now.
If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it.
You fucking cunt.
I will not look for you. I will not pursue you.
You make my life so fucking difficult.
But if you don't, I will look for you.
The fuck is that?
I will find you.
What? What?
I will kill you.
I'm threatening. I'll put you in a fucking rose garden, you cunt. You understand that? Because I'm capable of it. Fuck you!